Well, very good evening and a very blessed Christmas Eve to all of you who are here this evening and also all who are joining us online tonight. The title of today's message, Good Tidings of Great Joy. Literally, mega joy, huge joy, massive, immense joy. I'd like us to think for a moment, when was the last time that we heard some good news, a very memorable event where, you know, you receive this news which really changed your mood, not just for a day, but really buoyed up your moods and you know, caused you to be so elated. Maybe it was the receiving of some results that you had anticipated for a while. Or maybe it was the email that, you know, received or confirmed a job offer that you were waiting for a long time. Or maybe something to do with a loved one. Maybe something to do with a proposal. Or something to that idea where you know that with this receiving of such great news, I mean, your life has almost, you can say, changed. Your course, you know, of the future has been so wonderfully influenced by this one single piece of fantastic news. Perhaps, you know, good news has been a little short in coming this particular year where we have felt maybe that, you know, is full of not so good news, especially in recent weeks even, or maybe just a week ago where we have heard of new restrictions that had been coming in because of a cluster of coronavirus cases that had started up in the northern beaches. And I mean, even the very fact that we are having this evening service today is a result of that. Well, in a way you can say that's not such a bad thing, is it? Well, we have another opportunity to praise the Lord. But, you know, we all like good news, right? Nobody likes bad news. We all like to receive news that we know that upon hearing it, we know, oh, this, you know, this really makes my day. Oh, this is the thing that I've been waiting for. Ah, this is the good news, which I know, right, will really affect my life in such a good way. Good news. But despite all the bad news that we have heard, or, you know, no matter how good some of the things that we have experienced are, you know, nothing compares to the good tidings of great joy that were announced that very night, some 2,000 over years ago, to these shepherds who were watching over their flock by night. And these were the news, this was the news which the angels brought to these shepherds, announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to us as Christians, you know, there is really no better news. No better news. This is absolutely the most wonderful news, the one most wonderful piece of news, the thing that we can learn about in this lifetime. The fact that God cared so much, that he came to this earth in person. We're talking here about the incarnation, about the fact that God was made man, and he came down to this earth to live that life so that he could save us of our sins. I mean, that is the gospel. That is the news that we all celebrate, not just on Christmas, but every day and all throughout our lives. That is the one single piece of good news that we must never forget. And that is the good news that we want to ponder about, meditate upon this evening. Why is Christmas such a joy? Why is Christmas something that we celebrate year after year? And we know how the world has turned this day into such a commercial thing. It's all about Christmas sales. It's about, you know, pushing out all those gifts that people would be so want to spend on during this time. It is about all the food, all the promotions that all the restaurants are having, the supermarkets are promoting. It is a celebration that the world is having, but well, really not so much related to the Lord Jesus Christ at all. But for us as Christians, we know better. We know the importance of Christmas. We know what Christmas is about. We know about the joy that Christmas brings. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. That's a hymn that we sang at the very beginning. Joy to the world. Now, do we really mean it when we sing these words? Because these are to us good tidings of great joy. When I look at this phrase, good tidings of great joy, literally, it has the meaning of I evangelize to you, right? This phrase, bring to you good tidings, well, it's really one word in the original, and it is actually the word which we, you know, transliterate to evangelize, right? It's the Greek word euangelion, and it has the meaning of a good message, right? Or the gospel. Basically, the angels were saying, I evangelize to you. I bring to you this good news. I bring this gospel to you. And that's what gospel is. The gospel is good news. He says, I have the best possible announcement to bring to you, and it is an announcement of great joy. It is an announcement, it is a piece of good news that brings about massive, immense joy. And that's what the angels were announcing that evening to these shepherds. And you can imagine the scenario there, that scene, a beautiful setting. Shepherds who were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And these were faithful shepherds, these were good shepherds, right, going about their simple task. Not a very glamorous role, you may say. And it is not the role of, you know, the rich and the powerful and the famous. Oh, they were just a group of shepherds that were there, you know, watching over their flocks. And they will stay with them. Wherever the flock goes to graze, they will follow along. And they know their shepherd. They know their sheep well. And so they were just simply doing their job, a simple occupation. But it is to this simple group of shepherds that the Lord chose to make this great announcement to them. And so there they were, keeping over their flock by night, doing whatever they do to pass the time. And then suddenly, round about them, there was the angel of the Lord that came, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It must have been something pretty stunning, shocking even. And that is why the first thing that the angel said is, be not afraid. Fear not, because that sudden appearance of this being, and this was an angelic being, and it was something that was different, out of the norm. And there was a glory that shone round about them, and exactly what it looked like, we do not know. But it was something bright. It was some sort of appearance that was now surrounding them. And they knew that this was not something normal at all. And then the angel began to speak. Fear not. Why? Behold, look, listen. I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He says, I have a glorious announcement to make. Why? Why did the Lord choose this simple group of shepherds? Of all the people in the world, I mean, should not the appearance of a king be heralded to the rich, the famous, the powerful? You would think, I mean, should it not go to the governor of the land, the ruler of Bethlehem or Jerusalem, or maybe even the Caesar of the Roman Empire? I mean, he is the most powerful man on the earth, and he needs to know that, well, this is the most important news that the world can receive. Shouldn't it go through those channels? But that is not who the Lord chose to bring this good tidings of great joy to. He chose to bring it to the simple. And as we will see, I mean, as you can see in the following verses, it was to the faithful. These were just shepherds, you may say, and the society may look down upon them. He says, who are these group of people? They are unknowns. But we can see, further down the passage, they responded excellently to this announcement. That as the message was given to them, they knew the value of this message. They said, let us go see. And they hastened to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they saw with their own eyes that indeed this is true and this is real, the Messiah has come, they hastened then to bring this message to all. They knew the importance of the good tidings of these great joy. Now that same message now comes to all of us. Do we know the gravity of these good tidings? Do we experience the same joy and elation that these angels had and then these shepherds responded in kind to? Do we truly value the immense joy that can come about from understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he means to us? And so the first thought that we want to have about this is that these are good tidings for all. Yes, it was directed firstly to the shepherds. That was the ones who received the announcement. But very soon after they saw it, they knew that this good tidings of great joy is not something that I keep to myself. This is something that I must go and proclaim and announce to all around. And this is the same good message that of great joy, these good tidings that is upon us also to share with all our loved ones, to everyone around us. Why? Because there is no better news than this. There is no better news than to have the knowledge that Jesus, the Son of God, has come to this earth to save us from our sins. That is the message. And so the angels told them, this good tidings of great joy, it shall be to all people. You see, that has always been the intention of the gospel message. It was never meant to be an exclusive message given only to the Jews. Right from the very onset. Right from the time in which the gospel, or you can say that covenant, was given to Abraham. What was told to him? It is not that I will bless you and your people only, but it is that through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And through you, yes, will come forth a nation, and out of this nation will come the Lord Jesus Christ. But this blessing is not to be kept within just that small community of Jews. No, this blessing is meant to go out to all the world. And that was consistently the message that we see throughout the Old Testament, actually. This is to all nations, that it is not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. Come, all that thirst, come, all that seek after the Lord, come. And this message is open to you. And that was what the disciples were told to do after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go we into to all the world and preach the gospel. That this message must needs go out, not just to Jerusalem and to Judea, but also to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, to all people. And that's what this phrase means here. All people. And the word for people here speaks of nations, to all groups of peoples. And this message is good tiding. It is not just for us to enjoy and keep to ourselves. Now, if you know the value and the importance of this good tidings, well, certainly you will want to share this good news to everyone around you. That's why this good tidings is for all. It is a universal good news, you may say. But of course, it is when this good news goes forth, we must by faith receive this news. Because there are many who will hear this news, they will scoff at it, they will scorn and say, who is this Jesus? Who is this Christ? It means nothing to them. Or worse still, they will look down upon it, they scoff at it, they laugh and they mock and they say, well, this is ridiculous. Nobody who believes in these things. How can you ever say that there is even a God? Or that God came down to this earth? What did he look like? Ah, these are just myths, stories, and legends. It's not true. They celebrate Christmas. And they seem to be joyful, but for an entirely different reason. It is all just joy out of their carnal lives. All their festivities and all their excitement and all their revelry. Christ is just completely out of the picture. But for us, this is a news that we know is precious. And this is a news which we would want to send forth to as many people around us as possible, because there is literally no better news than this. Now, is this something that excites us? Is this something that really brings us great joy? Or have we become so used to this message? It's not that, you know, we are hateful of it. It's not that we look down upon it. But, well, to us, maybe after a while, it sort of just becomes commonplace. Well, we think, yes, Jesus came down to this earth, and yeah, he came to die for my sins. And yeah, I mean, that's nice. It's not that we're against this message. We are for this message. We are thankful for this message. But it no longer excites us in that same way, which perhaps you may have received, that you may have felt when you received that other piece of good news, the good news that I asked you to think about at the beginning of this message. What excites us more? The prospect of perhaps the fact that we got a new job, or we got that job offer that we've been praying hard for, we got that promotion, we managed to sell that piece of property or buy that piece of property, or we got something, application that was approved. Maybe your PR application, your citizenship application in moving here to Australia. All these different things which you anticipated, you hoped for very longingly, and then you received it and you saw, wow, this is great news. This is fantastic. But then how about the fact that Jesus came to this earth to die for our sins, and not for just your sins, but the sins of the world, of anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and repents? And do you know that after this, you will no longer have to bear your sins? It is now taken away from you, washed clean. That is the good news. And how would we approach this news? As we meditate upon this glorious truth, think back to that night. On that glorious night, as those shepherds received that news, think of how they felt. I mean, they were just there doing their thing. And then suddenly the gravity or the enormity of this message was now placed upon them. And they understood. They understood the significance of what this meant. Because the next line tells them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, the value of this good tidings simply lies in the fact that it is good tidings of a Savior. And that's the second thought, right? Firstly, good tidings for all. And secondly, the fact that it is good tidings of a Savior. A Savior. What does it mean to have a Savior? To have someone deliver us, save us. Save us out of what, you may ask? Well, it is of the scourge, of the problem, the disease that is inflicting all of mankind. The grave problem of sin. And that was what was prophesied to them from the very beginning. That there will be a Lamb of God that will come and take away the sin of the world. That image that they would see in all their sin offerings and their sacrifices, understanding that in the sacrificing and the killing of these bulls and of goats, yes, it is to make an atonement for their sins, but these things will not last. They had to yearly and continually offer up these sacrifices because they were looking forward to that one day where the Passover would come, where the Messiah would come to save them of their sins. And now the time had come. And that was the enormity of the message that was delivered to these shepherds that very evening. As they stood there, and as they heard these words from the angel, announcing and declaring to them that unto you is born this day, where? In the city of David. And they would know where the city of David was. It was something that they had thought of, or they had anticipated in prophecy as well. It was announced to them in the prophet Micah that, behold, Bethlehem Ephrathah, And they will know that is the city of David. That is the place where Samuel went to find this man after God's own heart. It was something very familiar to them, where they would have Samuel went and he found Jesse with his seven sons, and one by one, all of them were rejected, and they found David. It was in Bethlehem. And so although Bethlehem was really not a famous town, it was not a big city, it was, as Micah described it in Micah 5:2, the little among the thousands of Judah. He says, there is really nothing great about Bethlehem. It is not prominent at all. It's not famous. It's not renowned. It's not known for much. Aside from being the fact that David came from the city, right? And so it is the city of David. And so he says, but yet out of thee, Micah tells us in Micah 5:2, shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so that is what they would have heard of. That's what they would have understood if they were faithful Jews looking for and anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And so as the angel said these things, it confirmed to them in their hearts and in their minds. Yes, it ticks the boxes. He is born in the city of David. And it is unto us that a child is born. And they will remember the words of Isaiah as well. That unto you is unto us, the Lord shall give us a sign, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It will come by way of a child, a real person. And that is how the Savior will be. For unto us a child is born. And they will understand that when the angel says these words, the city of David, it's a child that is born. And he is a savior. He is a deliverer, one who will come to save us of our sins. And he is Christ, the Lord. Very, very powerful, impactful words that was coming to them that evening. Christ, meaning Messiah in Greek. Christos, right? From the, it is the direct translation of the word from the Hebrew, Messiah. And so they would have heard and understood as all these things were now being announced to them one by one. In the mind of a faithful Jew, he knew these would start to tick all the boxes of the Messiah that they have been awaiting, looking forward to. And he says, this is the Messiah, who will be your ruler, who will be your Lord, as was announced by Micah, that he will be the ruler in Israel. This is something that they had looked forward to for so long. And now it was happening in their time. And of course, it was great tidings, good news, good news. And more than just the fact that it was the coming of the promise in the Old Testament, well, simply the fact that he is our Savior. I mean, that is to us what is most significant. Our Savior. Is that something that is precious to you? Is that something that you cherish? Not just at Christmas, but every single day. The fact that Jesus has saved me of my sins. Understanding the fact that by myself, I am a sinner, lost and undone. And there is nothing that I can do to save myself. But that God sent forth his Son to come to this earth, to live, to be born in that manger 2,000 over years ago, born of a virgin, born to human parents, to live that life perfectly, and then to go to the cross to die for our sins. I mean, that is the gospel, isn't it? That is the crux of the whole gospel message. It all boils down to this, that we are sinners, lost and undone, and we cannot do anything to save ourselves. We need God to save us. We need God to come personally and directly to intervene into the affairs of men. Because left to ourselves, there is nothing that we can do. We are all condemned to death, to judgment, to eternity in hell. But now the Savior has come. And that is why it is good tidings of great joy. Something that we can all celebrate every single day of our life. Something that we must constantly meditate upon, ponder on, think on. And that is what ought to drive us, motivate us each day to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and no longer for ourselves. Because this good news is something that affects everything about my life. It is the message of the Savior, the good tidings of the Savior, that He has come to intervene in the affairs of men, God Himself coming into this world to save us out of the sins that we are in. And so that was what was announced to the shepherds that night. And yes, it might have taken a while for them to process exactly what is going on, but after they got over their initial shock and perhaps fear, as what the angel said, I'm sure rising up within them will be that excitement, that elation to understand that, yes, finally that promise had come, a deliverer, the one whom God had promised from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, when sin first entered into the world. And with sin brought judgment and despair. But then came the promise of the Messiah, that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And that promise had been developed as it was announced to the prophets, as announced to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the prophets spoke of this promise as well. And then now it was finally being realized in their lifetime. And they now had that blessed opportunity to go and see for themselves. Of course, you may say, well, I don't have that opportunity. I was not there in Jerusalem. I was not there in Bethlehem. I didn't get to see. Well, we don't have to see with our eyes. But with the eyes of faith, the gospel has been shared with us. The word of God is now before our very eyes, and that same good tidings of great joy come to us. How do we regard it? How do we respond to it? Is this truly precious in our eyes? Does it change us? Does it affect the way that we live? Other good news in your life has... When you receive those news, that stunning piece of good news, and you were prepared to move your family to migrate to a new country, perhaps, because of their new job, you were prepared to make all these changes, change your life around. That good news of a life partner, of when she said yes, when you proposed, or the other way around. All these good news, I mean, affected your lives in such a huge way. How is it that this news, which is far superior, far greater, doesn't seem to do anything to your life? Have you really understood the enormity of this news? Or are we still, from the outside, sort of looking in, peering at these Christians and thinking, well, what's the excitement? What's the fuss all about? You talk about this baby 2,000 years ago, and the whole world is talking about Christmas. But really, what's the big deal? I mean, why are all you Christians being so excited over the birth of a child? I mean, yes, a birth of a child is a significant thing, but is it really that huge of an announcement? And truly it is. If we understand who Jesus is, if we understand what it means that He has come, and this news is to all people, this news is the fact that unto us is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, then you will also be able to join in and rejoice with us, understanding how precious this truth really is. And so then what happened next? He told them, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So with that, verse 13 tells us, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. So what we know is that initially there was one angel, right, the angel of the Lord that came and made these announcements, and the glory was already shining round about them. Okay, so they could see something spectacular that was beginning to happen. And so he made that proclamation. He announced unto them that you fear not, right, that I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then he gave them the details of these good tidings. The fact that there is born this day in the city of David in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he says, you go and see for yourself. Right, you go to Bethlehem and you look for that inn and you will find that babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Literally, it was a newborn baby. He says, you can see for yourself. It's true. And then with that, in a way, it's almost as if the angels themselves could not contain their excitement. And they all descended and appeared to these shepherds. We know that angels are their spiritual beings. Normally, they do not take on a visible or corporeal physical form. And so when, you know, that first angel appeared, but evidently what was all round about them was also a multitude of heavenly hosts. The angels couldn't, I mean, the shepherds couldn't see them at first. And all they saw was this first angel, the one making the proclamation. But as the angel finished making that proclamation, suddenly, Bible tells us there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. And heavenly hosts basically refers to the rest of the angels, other angels, right? So there was a huge group of angels, and they were all perhaps, you know, surrounding and all about these shepherds were listening to that angel. And they began to praise God and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the third thought that we have of these good tidings is that this is good tidings that are worthy of praise. This is something worth singing about. This is something worth glorifying about, glorifying God about, because these are truly wonderful and magnificent news. This is something that the angels had known about, and this is something that the angels had been anticipating. They knew what was happening. They knew that God, and now God the Son, whom they knew in heaven all this while, had now undergone this incarnation. And those 9 months in the womb of Mary, and finally the birth had come. And they were tasked with this great, wonderful job of announcing it to the shepherds. And they had with excitement beheld how Jesus was now in person form, fully God and fully man. They understood the enormity of what was happening. And so they could not contain their excitement in a sense. And as the announcements were being made to the shepherds, they burst forth in praise, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Was by way of a song, declaring triumphantly that God is to be glorified in all that he has done. What a wonderful image, isn't it? A vision, a specter of all these things happening that very night. Where they celebrated this wonderful good news. Because you see, ultimately, when we hear this good news, we are filled with the joy and elation. How should we respond? I mean, we receive good news. I mean, we love to share it with the people around us, right? We're so excited, jumping up and down, and we can't wait to share this with our loved ones and our friends. We want people to hear about this good news. But do we remember also in the midst of that gratitude? Gratitude to the one who has given us that news. Gratitude to the one who has made all these things possible for that great news to come into effect. And that's what these angels recognized. That at the end of the day, when we think about salvation, when we think of the fact that Jesus came down to this earth to live and then to die, who is to be praised? It is God. That is the significance of our salvation. When we understand what salvation is all about, and we understand what a great sacrifice it took for God to send his son to this earth to die, for Jesus Christ to choose to come and live and then to die for our sins. That sacrifice, pain, the torment, and the suffering. Our response has to be glory to God in the highest. And what this phrase means is that, you know, the highest glory, the supreme glory to God, to him. And is that our heart and our thought as we ponder about the fact of the incarnation this evening? Is that the spirit in which we desire to bring forth this exuberant praise to the Lord? And yes, it can be frustrating as we sit here in the house of the Lord, but yet it is almost as it were, we are muzzled. We are prevented from singing out loud as our hearts truly desire. But is that our desire? As I was sitting here this evening, it is actually one of the very few times that throughout this whole entire period that I'm in church, but I'm not able to sing because usually I'm here and I'm sharing and I get to sing. And I understand really what a privilege it is that throughout all this time, as the advisory has been that we should not sing, even though we are in the house of the Lord. And we just are able to sing quietly to ourselves. And yes, of course, it's not about the volume of our singing. But oftentimes, I mean, when we are excited, when we want to praise the Lord, it is that with a high volume and with the best voice that we can render unto the Lord, we sing unto him. And all this while, throughout these many, many months, we have not had that opportunity to sing out loud unto the Lord. And yeah, we did for a couple of weeks. And those who were here rostered during those few weeks, I hope you felt a difference. That, you know, now I can freely sing unto the Lord. Is that something that we desire? Is that something that we want to do? Is that something that brings us excitement and joy, the fact that I can sing glory to God in the highest? I can praise him because he is worthy of praise. Or are we content to just sit mutely and just, in a way, just spectate or watch in that worship service week after week, content to just observe and not have any sort of response in our hearts at all? And yes, we can sing. Yes, while we may not be able to sing out loud, we can sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord with thanksgiving and with joy. But that heart of worship has to be there. That desire to praise the Lord has to be there. Because when we understand how significant this news is, that these are great tidings, good tidings of great joy, we ought to be as like the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, all saying and declaring glory to God in the highest. Why? Because on earth there is peace. What is this peace talking about? Of the fact that man can be reconciled to God. And that is goodwill. And the word goodwill here has this idea of delight, right? Good desires or good thoughts, right? Good delight towards men. Because that is what God is doing in sending forth his son. He is bringing about peace on this earth. Not the sort of peace in which there is a cessation of war or the sort of alliance between nations. Now peace in the sense where we are no more enemies with God, but now we are reconciled to him. We are joined and united together with God as one. He says that is why we can sing glory to God in the highest. Is that our heart's response to this glorious message of good tidings, of great joy? That ought to be how we respond, not just in Christmas, not just in the singing of the Christmas carols, but every single day of our lives as we ponder about the significance of the gospel to us. Are our hearts buoyed up, you know, with that exuberant praise, desiring to sing unto the Lord, desiring to live for Him? Because the glory to God that we bring is not just in the worship of our lips, but the worship of our hearts, the worship of our lives. That our whole life, our whole being desires to render all praise and glory to God for what He has done for us. That is the joy that we should have. That is the response that we should have. Because these are good tidings that are worthy of praise all through the rest of our lives. That is the Christmas cheer. That is the Christmas joy that we should have every single day. Every single day of our lives. And so we must ask ourselves, really, what is Christmas to us? How do we understand? Is it truly something that brings about glad tidings of great joy? Is it something that is truly good news to us that we wish to celebrate? What is it that brings us the greatest joy as we reflect on all these things over Christmas? What is it that we anticipate and look forward to? The festivities, the funs, the gatherings. I mean, these things are all very nice and we enjoy them. Remember that all these things can come about only through because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And as we celebrate, may we also have a heart giving thanks and glorifying God for all that He has done for us. That is true joy that we can have in this life. And realize that this is a happiness that is independent of our circumstances. This world, yes, has a lot of bad news. This year has brought about a lot of disappointing and bad news. Many plans that we made have to be shelved because of all these restrictions. Many lives have been greatly affected by what has happened. But in the midst of all these things, can we rejoice? We still can. We can always rejoice because our happiness is independent of what is going on all around us, because we know that nothing can change the fact that Christ is our Lord and our Savior. He came to this earth, and in love He lived, and then He died for our sins. He rose again on the third day, and through Him we can have forgiveness of sins. And we know that one day we will be ever with the Lord in eternity, because He is our Savior. That is the good news that we can always celebrate. That is good news that we must always keep in our hearts. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee, O Lord, for this wonderful and blessed, magnificent news of the incarnation of how the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth some 2,000 over years ago to live and then to die for our sins. As we celebrate Christmas this year, in the midst of much fear and uncertainty, may we always rejoice in the fact that we have this good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And this is a wonderful news that is to all, that is one that tells us about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and one that is worthy of praise. And Lord, we pray that Thou will help us, teach us to have this joy in our hearts. And may this be what leads us to live for Thee, to serve Thee all the days of our lives. We thank Thee in Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.